Turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. Starting with verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and laid down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and he behold, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And to thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I want to talk to you about the presence of the Lord here tonight. Would you just pray with me? Father, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And God, we ask you now, Lord, just to take and lay your hand upon your servant one more time. And God, give us a word for these people that we might receive from you tonight, that which you would have us to receive. And God, I pray you would bless each and every one that's here. Open up our understanding. And God, I pray that you would just bless in every facet of this service, Lord, and give us a great altar service in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Brother Durham saw me Saturday night and said, Brother Pinson, do you have a word from the Lord? And I said, well, I got a word. I sure hope it's from the Lord. As a Christian, one of the most prized things that you and I have in our daily lives is not our houses and our cars and our jobs and our bank accounts or even our wives or husband, but it's the presence of God that abides in our hearts all day long, every day. Isn't that right? God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present with us. We used to, there came out a song a number of years ago, I see God in a baby's cry, and a beautiful flower, and a beautiful snowflake, and a snow-capped mountain, and a beautiful sunset, and all these things. But let me tell you something, this is not God, this is his handiwork. Amen? That is not God, because we're not pantheists. But God is present with us. I know a number of years ago, I used to say, now, before we start this service tonight, let's ask the Lord to come into this service. And I thought, how could I be so wrong? God was already there when we got there. He was already at Glad Tidings last night, and he was at Glad Tidings all day waiting for us to get here. And he's here right now and we are sitting in his presence. And he will be here until the lights are turned off. My brother, you do turn the lights off, don't you? All right. I've had a few times in my ministry when I have a good deacon or somebody that would look out after all these things. But, okay. But he will be here. He is here. And we do not have to invite him into the service. We did not bring him. He was already here, and He will be here to bless and to minister to us in our ministry tonight and in this service. We have a plaque in our house, in our living room, dining room, and this large molded plaque, it says, Christ is the head of this home, an unseen host at every meal, and a silent listener to every conversation. We've had a lot of comment about this, and I think it's so appropriate that we have such as recognize him. And, you know, in our church, we used to sing, He is here, hallelujah. He is here, praise the Lord, you know. And then another song we used to sing is, Surely the presence of the Lord's in this place. Jacob didn't even realize that all alone, using a stone for a pillow, and as he slept, that God was in the place right where he slept, where he was running from his brother and all these things. He didn't even realize that. And when he woke up the next morning, he said, Surely the Lord's in this place. And we're going to call this place Bethel, not Luz. House of God. Place where God is. I've had people come and go in our churches. You do know that people come and go in churches. Huh? Let me ask you again. You do know that people come and go in our services, huh? Can you say amen to that? Some of them you say amen to. Praise the Lord. Well, you got it or not, I don't know. But anyway, there's some people that you thank God for leaving. I've had people say they just miss, and I go see them and I say, we should be missing you. Well, we've decided we'd leave the church. Well, why are you leaving the church for? I'm not going to try to stop you, but why? Just tell me, why are you leaving? Well, I didn't feel anything. Anybody ever tell you that, brother? Well, you're pretty good. I'd say to them, how? It's strange that you don't feel anything when God's saving and blessing and touching and healing and filling and encouraging and meeting people's needs. Can you explain why that all these things are happening in our church and you don't feel anything? Come on, folks. I'm just being down to earth tonight. I'm not like Brother Myers. I'm not a polish. He always said everything the right way. It's amazing that people can sit in the church and people can be blessed right beside them. People can be filled right beside them. People can be greatly blessed and they don't feel anything. Huh? I've always wanted, if anybody was going to get blessed in the church, I wanted it to be me. Come on. If anybody's getting a blessing, then let's get over and get by them. Get over where it spills over, where you can get a little bit of that blessing yourselves. We had a couple in our church that was not pretty close to our age, and they had a son that was a minister, and they said, we want you to go to hear our son preach at this certain church. I won't call the name of it because you'll understand it a little better. And so that one night during that revival, we went over to hear their son at this particular pretty good sized church, and we heard him preach, and when the preaching was over, well, there was a couple there that I'd been kind of noticing, you know, and they went down to the altar, and when they came back, they had each other's hand, and they were just dancing around like this. Looked like somebody was doing Rosie Posey or, you know, bringing around the roses or something, you know. And they just, all the way down the aisle. And I reached over to Ann, and I said, I thought we had all those kooks. But I guess there's enough to go around to all the churches. You know? And a while, 6 months or so later, I guess, I can't remember just how long it was, one morning I sat on the platform, and the door opened, and who do you think walked in? I recognized them the minute they stepped foot inside the church. And I began to pray. And I said, oh God, let them be blessed, but not that much. That they'd want to come back. You know. Sure enough, I tell you what, my prayer was answered. But when we come to the house of God and the presence of there, people will be blessed. I'm going to tell you something. If you are in the house of God, if you're in Glad Tidings tonight, and God hasn't blessed you recently, it's time that you begin to open up, take down your umbrella, and begin to let God bless you. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt, we felt God last night. We felt God. The reason that we came here to this church, I've told you before, the reason we came to Glad Tidings is because when we came here, we felt something. We've been visiting 38 years without ever looking for a church home. And all of a sudden, brother, when I retired, we had to find us a church home. We felt like we shouldn't stay there and cause any more confusion of being there in and to the new pastor, you know, and get out of his way and let him do his thing. And I told the church when I left, I said, I don't hear anybody say, now, Brother Pinson didn't do it that way. So we began to look for a church home, and I tell you what, we were so disappointed. I'm not going to detail this a lot, but we were so disappointed because of church after church after church. We went, and there was a lot of emotion, but we didn't feel anything. Of all the churches, I'm going to say this one more time, and you ought to pat yourselves on the back. Of all the churches we went to, this is the only church we ever that we went to out of about 7 or 8 churches that had a moving of God in it that morning that we came. Come on. It's terrible that the Lord is here. It's terrible that the Lord would come and visit us in our house of worship this morning, from time to time and every service, and we do not let the Holy Spirit bless us and fill us and thrill us and let the power of God take over. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He tells us the Bible tells us in Psalms 139 verse 7 says, where shall I go from the presence of the Lord? And he gives, and then David begins to give us two verbals. And these two verticals is this. Heaven, he said, if I tend to heaven, thou art there. If I go to hell, thou art there. And then he turns around and gives us two horizontals. Verse 9, he said, if I go on the wings of dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, thou art there. Then verse 10, he goes on, and he said, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I want you to know, folks, you cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. The Bible called Jonah and told Jonah, said, I want you to go to Nineveh and minister to that wicked city. And the Bible said, and he didn't want to go because Nineveh was their enemies. And the Bible said, and he went down to the place and got on a ship and headed for Tarshish. You know why he went to Tarshish? He wanted to get away from the presence of the Lord. Huh? You ever tried to get away from the presence of the Lord? Huh? He thought that he could just drive, get on a ship and go in the opposite direction, and that God wouldn't know where he went to and wouldn't follow him. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was carried into Babylonian captivity. And the Bible tells us that after they had been there, that Nebuchadnezzar built a golden idol. And he said, everybody that hears all this music of all the instruments, they're to fall down and worship this, to worship this idol. And the Bible tells us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not bow to this idol. And he called them in. He said, well, maybe you didn't understand me. You're going to have to bow, because anyone that does not bow will be put into the furnace. And they said, O king, we will not bow down to your idol. The God that we serve is able to deliver us, but if not, I like that, folks. Brother, there's no other way. We're not going to bow down to this idol. And Nebuchadnezzar was so angry, he said, heat that furnace seven times hotter, and they cast him in, and the king went over and looked down into the furnace, and they threw him down in there bound, and the Bible said, and he looked down, and he said, did not we throw three people into the furnace bound? He said, behold, I see four walking around, and the fourth one is like the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. Brother, thank God. God is with us. Even in our fiery trials, in our disappointing times, God is in our midst tonight. And whether you realize or not, how many times you ever felt like I'm all by myself and nobody cares and all these other things. But I thank God that God said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. How many of you have ever got a phone call like this? All of a sudden the phone rings and some of your real important kin folks said, we just got into town and we're about 30 minutes away and we'll be there in about 30 minutes. Huh? There you are, you're sitting in pajamas watching television. And all of a sudden, I want you to know, you turned on your afterburners. You're grabbing clothes, dirty clothes, shoes, socks, paper, washing dishes, sweeping the floor, kicking whatever you couldn't get under the couch, under the bed. Huh? Sweeping the floor and all the kind of thing. And about 30 minutes time, sure enough, the doorbell rings and perspiration dropping off your face and your hair hanging down. Looks so good to see you. Well, let me ask you something. How would you like to get a phone call? Well, I don't guess that these people got a phone call, but the Bible tells us to do an Eli. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, that were just really evil. And they took the Ark of the Covenant out they thought that God would just honor that Ark of the Covenant, which would represent the presence of the Lord. And the Philistines captured that Ark of the Covenant and carried it back into the land of the Philistines. And the Bible tells us that it gave them so much trouble, even gave them hemorrhoids. That's right. If you don't read it, if you don't believe it, read the Word of God. And they said it's so much trouble, and they put that Ark on a covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant on a cart, and a milk cow, and they started that way back, and it ended up in the house of Abinadab. And all the time Samuel was the prophet and judge, The ark of and the presence of the Lord was not in the country. All the time that Saul was king, the presence of the Lord was not even there. And when David came to be king, he wanted, one of the first things was his heart said, let's bring back God's presence into our midst. Let's bring back God's presence into our midst. And he went back, and the Bible said, and they took that ark of the covenant, and they put it on a new cart. And if you know anything about the word of God, it says that the ark shall be bare. How should they carry the ark? On their shoulders. By the high priest. The sons of Levi. And it went on a ways, and the Bible tells us that it hit one of the potholes in Houston. And that cart juggled, and Uzzah reached over to touch it to keep that cart from rocking, and God struck him down just like that. It is, ooh, this, David said, that's not the way to bring it. And so they took and they put the house in the house of Obed-Edom for approximately about 6 months, I think. And he went home to study to find out how to get God's presence back. And the Word of God tells us something very, very blessed. It said, in the 6 months that God was there in the house of Obed-Edom, that God blessed Obed-Edom. And everything he did and everything that he touched, God blessed it. You know, I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't believe in prosperity preaching. But let me tell you how I do believe. I believe if you're a child of God, God will bless you. Come on. Brother, if you get God and get him in your heart and you live for God, I believe it. You don't have to tell somebody how rich and how many Cadillacs you're going to have and all these things. I believe that God's going to bless you and God's going to meet your needs and God's going to look out after you. And if you put God first, God will put you first. Come on, amen. I've seen too many people get blessed by just serving God. Isn't it amazing? That all we have to do is just let the presence of God into our lives and He'll bless us. What happens? I want to change it. Change this and get down to the meat of this message tonight. I'm just about ready to start preaching, Greg. What happens when God's presence is somewhere? In church? In your life? What happens? The Bible said, in His presence is what? Fullness of joy. I want you to know, folks, that if you've got the joy in your life, and if God's there, I want you to know, brother, that there's going to be, when Jesus comes to your heart, but I want you to know, folks, that it gives you joy. We used to sing this song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I heard a story about a little girl. She was about 4 years old, and she loved her uncle and aunt, and they let her go and stay a couple of weeks with them, and they were Pentecostal preachers, pastored a Pentecostal church, and while she was there, they were in revival. And all that 2 weeks, they was in revival, and she came back home, and they went to one of these churches that didn't believe in the moving of God, and they believed it'd be quiet and all of this, you know. And so they had a place where the deacon sat over here at the side. This deacon row, they called it deacon row. This little girl came in from Sunday school. The church was already full and quiet as usual. This little girl comes skipping down the aisle and said, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, skipping down the aisle. Skipped it all the way down to the front seat where her deacon father was sitting. And everybody was wondering, what in the world? And the pastor called this man and his wife after service and said, "What do you mean? Nobody has joy in this church." In his presence is fullness of joy. 1 Peter tells us that whom having not seen ye love, though now ye see him not, yet believe in ye rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of what? Glory. I want you to know, folks, that when the Lord comes into our life and his presence begin to come, I want you to know, folks, I was looking around Sunday night and I was wondering how many folks had joy. Huh? One night I went to work when we was building our church, and I was working, and one night I was I could not work and full time or whatever, and so I went to work at midnight, and I told him, I said, "I don't want any responsibility. All I want to do is work." And one night I went to work, and I think I might have told this here, but I was preached, and about 9 and 10 o'clock at night, you know, back then the service didn't end about 10. And here, about 11 o'clock, I got in my car to start to work, and I was so tired, and I had my head back in the seat, and I was saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah." We'd had a good service, but I was so tired in body, and I was going down the road, and I was just praying and seeking the Lord, and had my head on the backrest, just driving along, and I think I might even had my eyes closed. I don't know. And all of a sudden, I realized that there was somebody looking at me. And all of a sudden, I looked over, and there was two policemen doing this way. I said, "It's all right, praise the Lord." But one night, I was just so tired, and somebody came up to me and said, "Ray, what's the matter?" I said, "What do you mean, what's the matter?" He said, "You're not smiling tonight." Oh, wow. Come on. Boy, he thumped me good. And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. God, give me that joy in my heart that people see me, they'll know that there's something different between me and the world. I don't want to be like the world, and I don't want to do like the world, and I don't want to look like the world." And I think one of the things that we Pentecostal people have above everything else is, brother, we are joyful people, and we sing joyful songs, and we worship the Lord. The Bible tells us that Philip went down to Samaria and he preached a revival there. And the Bible said while he went there, he said, "Brother, God did great miracles and signs and wonders and all kinds of things." And the Bible said, and there was great joy in the city. See, Brother Durham, I'd like for a revival to come where God would just overload this church with joy. Hey, how many of you ever heard people laugh in the spirit? I'm sure there's lots of you. I love to see people get so full of God that they just laugh and rejoice in the Lord and laugh and rejoice in the Lord. Oh, God, bring us back to that day when, brother, that we're so full of joy that, brother, it just bubbles over in our heart that we can't hold it back. It's just a joyful sound. What happens when Jesus' presence? A number of years, I used to be a fine, fine minister. I love to hear. His name was Lester Roloff, Corpus Christi. And he used to sing the song, "When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay." How many of you ever heard him sing that? Oh, I tell you, folks, he couldn't sing no much better than I could. But I love to hear him crank out that old song. When Jesus comes, the power of sin is broken. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know, folks, tonight, that there's something about when the power of God gets in Glad Tidings Assembly of God, that there's going to be a change in a dramatic way when we begin to recognize, not because he just came, but when we begin to recognize him and begin to let him take control of our lives and begin to take over our services. People get saved without preaching. Come on. You don't have to have a preaching service to get people saved. If the presence of the Lord is there. I'm sure Brother Durham has seen this many, many times. I have. Brother, the power of God fall and people run to the altar to get back to God and get filled and get saved. Not a word had come from the pulpit yet. It was what made the difference. It was because that the Holy presence of the Lord was there. And where the presence of the Lord, there is conviction. We had a lady come in one night. She had real dark pink makeup. If you ladies wear makeup, that's all right. Everybody knows that a barn needs some paint. She had real dark roots and her eyelashes. Looks like she could hardly hold her eyes open. She had so much mascara. And the power of God began to, and we begin to start our song service, and the power of God began to come down in a mighty way. And the first thing I know, I looked over that lady, and she was there, and black and orange tears was running down. Looked like Halloween. I didn't tell her that she needed to get saved. I didn't tell her that she was lost. What happened? It was because that the presence of the Lord was there. People will feel God's need. I want you to know, folks, we make it hard on our pastor today because we let the presence of God not be as real as it should be in our services. And people go out of our services sometimes lost without God. And it ought to bring tears and a deep hurt in our hearts every time somebody leaves Glad Tidings and people are unsaved. Come on. People are saved. Somebody said John the Baptist lost faith in God when John Baptist was in prison fixing to die. And he sent two of his disciples to Jesus. And he asked Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Jesus turned to these people that had evidently had been there for a few days, and he said, "Go tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive the sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." I want you to know, brother, that'll preach. Go tell John. Go tell John. What are they going to tell him? What was happening in the ministry of Jesus Christ? And I want you to know, folks, when we get the presence of the Lord in, I want you to know one of the greatest testimonies that we can have is that we begin to tell people what's happening in our churches. When we can say, "Boy, you should have been here Sunday night." I want you to know we had people that were born again. We had people that were slain of the power of God. We had people that were delivered of drugs. We had people that were healed. We had people that were blessed. Come on. I believe Jesus was sending the word back to John's disciples, saying, "I'm not the one. I'm not whose shoes I'm not worthy to even to unloose." But this is Jesus, and His presence makes a difference. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. His presence makes a difference when we let Him come in and take control of our lives and of our services. The Bible tells us that when Moses met the Lord, the Bible said, he said, Moses hid his face in Exodus, the third chapter. Job 42 said, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And Isaiah, the sixth chapter, said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." What happened? These folks had seen the Lord. The presence of the Lord had come down, and they were convicted of their sins. We had a man, I was preaching a revival in San Benito, and there was a pretty little girl that played the piano. And she had a boyfriend. I guess today you'd call him a redneck, whatever that means. He had whiskers down to about here, real wide whiskers and cowboy boots and all these things. But the mom and dad said, "If you want to date my daughter, you got to go to church." So you know what he did? He went to church. And I was holding revival there. And that revival was being blessed. We had about 30 people that week, that 2 weeks that was saved, and about 30, 40 that was filled with the Holy Spirit in about 2 weeks time. And one night, I'd been praying, and our service had been going to about 10, 11, 12 o'clock every night. And I just prayed until I'd lost my voice. And I said, "God, what in the world am I going to do? I can't preach tonight." And that night in the song service, the power of God come down. I mean, it was like a flood that came down on that congregation. And that old boy had been there, and I'd been preaching all week on this thing and that thing, and the Lord had been saving and been filling and been blessing people, but that old boy had been moved. And there's a little short, stocky Sunday school superintendent. He got up, and all of a sudden the power of God hit him, and he jumped up, and he began to walk up and down the aisle speaking in tongues. I guess he's preaching in tongues. That's the only thing I could think of. And he walked up and down those aisles, and he preached and talked. And that old boy that hadn't been touched by the gospel all week long jumped up and ran to the altar and gave his heart to God. Who made the difference? It wasn't me. Come on. When Jesus comes, when the Holy Spirit gets into the service, people will begin to feel their need of God. What else takes place? I'm bringing this down. What happens? What else takes place? When the presence of the Lord is, there's healing. The Bible said He sent His word and healed them. The Bible said in one service, it said, and the presence of the Lord was there to heal. I don't know who's here tonight, and I don't know what your condition is, but I want you to know, I believe with all my heart that there's people here tonight that needs a touch from God. I believe that there's people that's going through things that their hearts are being burdened, and you need a touch from God, and you need a lift from God, and you need an encouragement from God, and you need for God to touch you and give you a real healing in your body. I want you to know, folks, anything can happen where the presence of the Lord is. Come on. We don't have to have Oral Roberts or some of these great healing people to come and visit our church. And if we announced that some of these great people on TV or something was coming to our church, bro, we'd have his church packed. But I want you to know, folks, Jesus is here, and there's not a thing that they can do that we can't do right here in our services tonight. And it can't take place. Come on. Brother Jackson, district superintendent in Atlanta, Georgia, had real bad heart trouble. I heard him tell this at the family camp. I believe it's where I heard him tell it. He got so bad he couldn't preach, couldn't feel his duty, and he told his wife, he said, "Honey, I'm going to go down to the hotel, motel, whatever it is, and I'm going to check in. Don't you call me. Don't bring me any food. I'm going to fast until God heals me." And he checked in that room, and he said, "Don't bother me. Don't bother me. I'm here to meet God. I'm here till God heals me." And every day, he laid on his face before God, and he read the Bible, and he prayed, and he sought God, and he laid on his face, and he prayed, and he sought God day after day after day after day. And one day, he picked up his Bible to read, and the Bible sprang open to Psalms, I think it's about the 57th chapter of Psalms, I believe it is, somewhere in that area. And all of a sudden his eyes just came on that one place, and the scripture was, "As my heart is fixed." Now he didn't mean that for healing. But when he saw that "my heart is fixed," he said, "Praise God, my heart is fixed, I'm well." He called his wife and said, "Come to get me, I'm healed." And he told us there in family camp, he said, "I want you to know, it's been many, many years since that time, and I've never had another heart problem whatsoever, because Brother God healed me in his presence. Brother, he healed his heart and made him whole." And I want you to know, folks, there's nothing that God can't do tonight. Let's not limit God. If he's here, there's not a thing that he cannot do. I heard Brother Clint Denham had also had heart trouble. And he got a hold of God, and God healed him. And he's telling us, I believe it was also a family camp one year. This is the first year we've not gone to family camp, and I can't remember. We've got other plans, but anyway. And Brother Clint Denham sought God, and God healed him. And he went for a checkup, and it had been 18 years since God had healed him. And he went back for a checkup, and the doctor listened to him and thumped on him. And you know how they do? You know, thump you. I don't know what all that does for you, but anyway, you know, you feel like a watermelon. But anyway, they thumped on him, and he said, "Reverend Clinton Denham, you've got a heart of an 18-year-old. He said, "That's just about right. That's about how long I've been healed." What am I trying to tell you this evening? I'm trying to tell you this, folks. The Lord comes, and he sits in our services, and he's desirous to do something for us. The Bible tells us so many times when you read about the Lord, the Bible said his hand is what? Outstretched. Why in the world would God have an outstretched arm if he didn't want you to come? Come on. Why would the Lord hold his hands out to you when we have small children and we want them to walk? What do? Bro, we stand before them and say, "Come here, honey. And if they fall down, we stand them up again and say, come on. The Lord, he stands before us and he's here tonight. And he's got his arm out and said, come on, come on. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here to bless you. Why won't you come? I'm here to meet your need. Why won't you come? I'm here to give you what you need. Why won't you come? Come on. The Lord's presence. Jacob said the Lord was here and I didn't even know it. The Lord was here and I didn't even know that he was here. I want you to know, folks, glad tidings. I want you to know that Jesus is here tonight. I want you to know that Jesus is here tonight. What do you need? What do you need? We used to sing that old song, Jesus on the Main Line. Tell him what you want. Jesus is here. I'm not a evangelist. I'm a pastor at heart. But I want you to know this, folks. We love glad tidings and we love your pastor and his wife and the people here at this church. But I think most of all is we love to come here because God's presence is here. What do you need from God tonight, huh? Come on. What do you need from God tonight? Would you just shut your eyes and bow your head just for a moment? Lord, you're here tonight. Just as you are Sunday night, and just as you will be here tomorrow night, and Wednesday night, this revival, and Sunday morning, and every service, God, let the people know that they don't have to be beat down. They don't have